It's chicken. So this is the question we're dealing with.
I can't see the question.
Just to review, the question of Muksan Chatzi Shabbos. All right. Again, the case we're dealing with is like this. All right. Everyone agrees, and I know this to be 100% true, and that's part of the emulation. So I know that's what's important. Yeah, I laugh my own jokes. So everyone agrees that if you go into Shabbos with the grape being Muksa, meaning it started drying out, that even when it turns into a raisin, that raisin's Muksa. You cannot eat it. All right? Forget Toto. Yes, you can move it, but you can't eat the raisin. Okay?
Are you sure everyone agrees?
Yes. Thank you. Okay? The question is, if you go into Shabbos where it's a raisin, okay, meaning it's already dried out, it's a raisin, and then you leave it up, you left it on your roof. Okay, it rains, and what happens? Because it rains, now it went back. It started working its way back to become the grape, so to speak. Meaning, it was inedible for a period of time on Shabbos, and then the sun came back out and dried out the grape, and it turned back into a raisin again. So the question is, how do you look at the raisin? Is it a raisin that's now muksa, or is it a raisin that now is mutter? Okay. Make this point clear.
No.
Everyone agrees that on Shabbos, right? Everyone agrees that after Shabbos starts, you can still have an idea of Musa. That's not up for debate. Everyone agrees with that. The question of Muksa and Chatzi Shabbos is not that whether you can have Muksa for a few hours on Shabbos. Of course you can.
From where we
start approaching this, the easier side is going to be to say once it becomes Muksa, it stays Muksa.
That's fine to say. Otherwise,
not become
Muksa. Why? 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 Why?
Well,
it's not Muksa anymore.
Still more challenging when you're taking kind of three.
Right, okay, what do you mean? It's not mux anymore, right? It's not mux anymore. But you're only saying that it's not mux anymore. So that's what you got to remember. You're only saying it's not mux anymore because of what?
It's not mux anymore. Oh, and because it started out okay.
That's why. Not because it's not mux, because this is not mux anymore.
Right.
And so we treat it as mux, but it's really not. This thing's edible. But we treat it as mux because it started off as being mux.
That's why I say you reverse the original at the onset.
But why? Why? That's what you have to answer. You know, that's what I'm trying to push you guys in that direction. This is not an easy question to answer conceptually. It's a very difficult svara. But the point is that whatever you, if you want to say that this is easy to say this reverts back, you're only saying that because it started off as being not muksa. That's why. Now the question is, why should it go back to this original state? Once a thing's inedible, so the primary usage of food is to be eaten. Once you remove its eatability, or edibility, now what is it?
Useless.
So by that same token, the nair.
No, nair is different because nair, its essential function is to be, well, one of its functions is to be lit. The problem with moving the nair is that by moving it, what could happen? You could put out the candle. So that's the whole issue. The issue is you can't move it because what it might lead to.
So they do have different reasons.
They do 100%. They just work out practically the same way. But that's not the focus here. The focus is this business. This. What do you say? Yeah. Tucker's making one step. Tucker's finally focusing on the point we need to focus on, which is that there's something going on here about this notion of huksa when? Bena Shemashos. Right? That's the key. Key is huksa. I told you this yesterday. The key is that. So what Tucker's presenting is he's going to say that at Bena Shemashos, what's happening?
The object is being intrinsically defined.
Okay, so the object is becoming intrinsically defined. Right, so what idea of huksa ben ishmashos means that this thing now is defined as X. Okay? But if you just said, now I know you're going to have another step to take, but if you just said that, then you would never suggest that it should still
or
be muksa.
Even later, you never suggest, really.
But you can't.
I know. So
you have to say that because of this.
Right.
You have to say that this is still muksa, right? Because if the thing's inedible, it's functionless. So it still has to be muksa.
So here's what I say.
Right, even though originally it was defined as being mutter.
But I wouldn't say
that's the...
Right, but I wouldn't say that is an inedible grape. Therefore, it is usser. I would say that it is a raisin that is circumstantially inedible. Therefore, it's usser.
It's a lima.
I don't like to use the word.
Why?
Sorry, because I don't want you confused with Rabbi Yehuda's idea of machmas. But, okay, yeah.
So I'd say the raisin, it didn't get intrinsically defined as becoming inedible. Rather, it was in a state of inedibility, therefore, while in that state it was usher. However, upon leaving that state, the intrinsic definition never changed, so the raisin again would be mutter. That's according to the green.
Okay, so 1 second. Good. Okay,
there's
so what
you're... It's a mutter object, just to clarify, it's a mutter, what he's saying is it's a mutter object that's just, there's temporarily some external that's making it unusable.
Okay, yeah.
What if you already have not counted dots beforehand, before Shabbos, that it would rain and it would go back to being a raisin?
What's your dots? You can have das that it will rain.
That'll go back to being a raisin. You have it for Shabbos.
We'll get that's hazmana. We'll get to hazmana. You'll see. That's the next sugya.
Just one more definition.
It's the action. You can do an action to preempt the expression of muksa.
Fine.
Okay, but we're not up to that yet. There's no das here. Okay, so what you're saying is like this. You're saying that the question is like this. Question is, everyone agrees there is a muksa that emerges on Shabbos itself, right? But the question is, what is that muksa?
Well, I'm saying according to the opinion that reason at the end is green. The muksa in the middle for midgrave is different than the muksa for reason.
Okay.
So the muksa for midgrave is not a. It's not. The muksa does not lie in the definition of the object. Rather, lies in the circumstantial reality. Of
right.
The
okay. So what you're suggesting? Okay. So what you're suggesting is as follows. You're saying that when it comes to muksa, you're saying this is where you're going. You're going in the direction to say that there's really two expressions of muksa that exist, right?
Yeah.
One is a muksa where the object itself is now defined in a certain way. But the other kind of muksa is where, I know it's similar to machmas, I'm not disagreeing with you, but it's where you're saying certain conditions emerge that produce a muksa.
And upon those conditions departing.
Right, so if it's a conditional muksa,
right.
You're suggesting there's another plane of muksa that exists. In that plane of muksa, you're suggesting that's a muksa of conditions. And if those conditions emerge, it's not that the object is intrinsically redefined as being muksa, it's simply a conditional muksa.
Exactly, exactly.
Okay, which I agree with.
Which is really green.
Right, so what's the other side going to say?
The red end. It's very hard. Because
it's not. It's right in front of you. Right in front of you.
If I say it gets redefined, no, then I say that I don't understand why I couldn't get redefined as reason in the other one.
It's right in front of you.
It breaks your relationship to the object as an object of use. So now it's an object that's unusable. So now it's a. So once it dries out again, it's still an unusable. It's still an object that you no longer relate to as being able to be used this Shabbos.
Oh, so therefore what?
So therefore it's muksa because it has no use because you. It lost its uses.
But what that sounds exactly like what though? That sounds exactly like what? Like. Okay, you'll see what I'm saying. In other words, yeah.
So can you say that it does?
You're close.
And the side that a raisin would be muksa would be that.
You don't like what Taka said?
No, he was saying how it would be muksa.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, yeah, I apologize. Yeah, okay, yeah.
It was good though.
If you say so yourself. I mean, you need to say that to protect yourself, but go on.
That it does redefine the object. A new inedible and edible are two qualitatively different steps.
Yeah, but you can't just say that, though.
Right, obviously. And something that's redefined on Shabbos is muksa. Anything that gets a new definition on Shabbos...
Okay, good. I agree. Why? Why? Why?
Why does something get a...
Yeah, I gave it away already. You just don't realize it. No, it's not Nolan. Oh. It's not Nolad. Nolad different. This isn't a case of Nolad. This is pre-Nolad.
Oh, because your original Asmana can never work.
We don't know anything about Asmana. There's no Asmana here.
No. Your original...
One second. I'm going to say it again slowly. Let's see if you can... You guys are getting there. Okay. If you say what you were saying before, right? So you're going to have to end up saying that when it comes to muksa, there's really two expressions of muksa that could exist, right? One is... Where the thing is kovea from banish mashos, and now it's intrinsically defined in a certain way, or conditions emerge that produce a muksa, right? But that's a secondary system, okay? The other side is going to have to say what?
There's only one system
of muksa.
Right, but there's only one system, and why can't
I... Oh, one second. But there's only one system. One.
5 minutes.
Okay, but, okay, but one second. Good. Finish it, though. But what? You can't just say there's only one system of muksa.
I'm saying, if there's only one system, why doesn't it go back to reason?
Defend it.
Why doesn't it go back to being a reason?
You can't just say there's one system of muksa. It sounds nice to say that.
The muksaing is the intrinsic setting aside.
No, meaning, okay. Okay. Why? Oh, I understand. Why?
Okay.
Why?
There's only one system of muksa.
What? But you got to isolate the feature. You're right. But what is it?
Any moving of usage is a permanent or intrinsic movement.
Okay, good. And how did that come about to begin with?
By the rain.
No, how did that come about to begin with? What produced the kvias in the thing? You said it before. What produces the kvias in the object itself?
Where is banish mashos?
Banish mashos.
That's raised by banish
mashos. Oh, so, or is there?
Yeah.
In other words, maybe that's the whole point. Maybe what the Gemara is telling you is that there's only one idea of muksa, right? And it's called the hooks of Bein HaShmashos, right? That is the only idea of muksa, right? The only thing is like this. The thing is that if something on Shabbos becomes muksa, what is it now? How do we look at that object? So we say, it's true that the object itself practically wasn't hooks of Bein HaShmashos, but what quality does it have once it becomes muksa?
Circumstantial muksa?
No.
Huksa.
It's the right,
or it has that
which is what?
Huxa,
no, but what I mean, meaning what? It's huxa of. No, of huxa of Bein HaShmashos.
But even though it wasn't by that,
doesn't matter. Because that's the whole point. In other words, it's a sub. Exactly, it's a subcategory. One second, it's a subcategory of huxa of Bein HaShmashos. In other words, huxa of Bein HaShmashos is the paradigm penultimate expression of huxa.
You're saying it's the only expression.
It is. No, but it doesn't. It is in the sense that as a quality of muksa, what happens, okay? At Bein HaShmashos, at that time, right, which now will tell you it's going to be the entire Shabbos, this object now acquires certain properties, right? What the Gemara is telling you is that on Shabbos itself, those properties could be acquired even though it wasn't Bein HaShmashos, but it has the quality of Bein HaShmashos kvias in it. Because that is what huksa is. Huksa Bein HaShmashos is muksa. That is the expression of muksa. Either you say...
What in that situation, Mother Rand, relates to Bein HaShmashos exactly?
Because it's muksa. Because now this object is now... The conditions have now made this object inedible. So how do we define the object now? How is the object defined? So either you say it's called a conditional muksa, which implies there's a new idea muksa. But that's the case. If it's conditional, then by definition, once those conditions are removed, it's not muksa anymore.
Or it's a redefinition, but I'm saying even...
But what allows it to be redefined? What gives it its mechanism to be redefined? Where does that emerge from? What system... It can't just say... Because if you say just redefined, then what are you saying? It's what? It's just two different... It doesn't make any sense. It can't just redefined. In other words, it's the system of the hooks of Bein HaShmashos that's redefining it.
I don't understand.
Okay, in other words, like this. In other words, okay, what does hooks of Bein HaShmashos mean? Let's get that clear.
It's set aside during the sundown.
Okay, so one possibility. Okay, you like you said before, when something is set aside on Bein HaShmashos at sunset, what happens to the object? Like you were saying before. Okay, so that's everyone agrees with that point. Everyone agrees that when sunset hits, okay, if this thing is inedible, now it becomes muksa. So when Bein HaShmashos hits, this thing is now intrinsically defined as being an inedible object, even if it acquires edibility at some point later on in Shabbos. Right? Everyone agrees with that. Is that clear?
Yeah.
That's definitely clear. Okay. Now the question is, if you're going to tell me you have this other idea of muksa, where on Shabbos itself something becomes muksa. So now you have two possibilities. Either you're going to tell me that it's a conditional type of muksa, which means it's a different expression of muksa. There's two streams of muksa. One is the Bein HaShmashos muksa, and the other one is the conditional muksa, right? Then you have to say that when the conditions are removed, it reverts back. So what's the other possibility?
It's a breach in the Bein HaShmashos.
What?
It's a breach in the Bein HaShmashos muksa.
What's a breach?
Is it a cessation of that definition?
What do you mean it's a cessation?
It gets redefined.
Yeah, okay, but what's allowing it to be redefined? If you're going to redefine the chetza as being muksa, what?
How can you redefine it from?
You're not redefining it. That's what I'm trying to tell you. It's not that Bein HaShmashos. Okay, it's not that Bein HaShmashos is the time. Okay, I mean I know practically it's the time.
So you've been using
it. I'm saying is that the time Bein HaShmashos creates a certain paradigm of muksa. Like that is the muksa. Whereas the idea of Bein HaShmashos is that it's now taking the object and redefining it, but that emerges the quality of Bein HaShmashos, meaning at that moment when it's sunset, and now it's going to be the whole Shabbos is going to be this way, it's Koveya this thing, they took that idea and they said we're going to borrow that and apply it to even when something becomes muksa on Shabbos itself. It's fruit from the best way to put it is it's fruit from the Huxa Bein HaShmashos tree. It's not a separate institution of muksa. It's the same institution. It's just a subcategory of the Huxa Bein HaShmashos. It's just not the same degree because it wasn't Huxa from Bein HaShmashos. Practically. But it's the same Huxa Bein HaShmashos.
How's it not the same degree?
No, because... No, it's not the same amount of time. Let's put it that way.
Practically,
right?
It comes out the same.
Exactly.
It can't get redefined.
Exactly. Because the Chatzah now is defined as a Huxa Bein HaShmashos. That's what I'm trying to say. You can't just call it a conditional Muxa, but say that it retains its status. That doesn't make any sense. So you're going to have to say it's no different than this. Now, how is it no different? Hold on. How is it no different than this? Because it has the quality of Bein HaShmashos in it. That's what I'm trying to say.
I don't understand how it has a quality to banish
mushrooms. Because what does banish mushrooms do? Banish mushrooms means that banish mushrooms takes this object down and redefines it a certain way. That's a quality in that muksa. When this thing becomes muksa, it's not that it just becomes muksa. It now acquires the chalos of huksa banish mushrooms. That's what it acquires. That this reality now exists in the grape at this point.
But you're saying there's not a...
It's not that the conditions... It's not that now it's a conditional muksa. It's saying there's only one expression of muksa. The muksa ben ish mashos.
But it's not that there's a din of being mutter at the beginning. It's that there's an absence of huksa for muksa. But then once it acquires the din of huksa for muksa, it doesn't lose that.
You could say it that way. I don't care. That's fine.
No, but it couldn't be that there's a din of mutterness, because then how could you uproot that? It could be that there's...
No, because that's not a definition of... No, because that's not fair. Because it's not that objects aren't... Well... You know what? Save that, actually. There is some truth to what you're saying.
No, it could
there
be, because otherwise...
No, you'll see, there is some truth to what you're saying.
Otherwise, it would get redefined backwards. It couldn't be.
You don't have to say that the object is defined as... The chafs is defined as mutter versus usser. You can just say that it's not... You can just say it's it's edible until proven otherwise.
You have to say that the din of it being allowed in the beginning and the din of being usser at the beginning are two different dinam, because one can be uprooted, the other cannot.
Right, but this isn't a hook, so the heter.
That's my point. It's not huksa.
It's just mutter.
Exactly.
The huksa is a definition in the object.
It's an absence of huksa. It's not that there is a huksa.
Fine. Okay. Fine. If that helps you, fine.
But once it gets a definition, you can't root. It's not that this object.
I agree, but
definition of being heter,
which is fine.
It's nothing.
Okay. So you agree?
Fine. It's fine.
Okay. Okay. Is that clear?
No, I still don't get why you need the template of Spanish.
Because that is the only muksa.
Yeah. To say there's one singular mechanism that muksa always intrinsically redefines.
I know, but the question is like this. But then the question is, so what's the nafkah mean between this and this? Then it would be obvious that all that it has to be that it's a raisin.
Okay, according to that side, it is.
I know, but I'm showing why it's a chiddush. Well, you're saying to me no chiddush. I'm saying it's a chiddush because you could argue that there's something called conditional muksa, or you could say that no, there's always one system of muksa. But this definitely, this is a different idea in the sense that this interdict of Shabbos being mutter,
okay.
It's not the same as this. Right, so there's a different reality to this being. There's in the paradigm case of muksa. What's the paradigm case? The paradigm case is huksa l'shabbos.
Right.
So when Shabbos, it enters into Shabbos with the quality of muksa in it.
Okay.
So the question is, what's allowing this to be redefined?
Okay,
that system. You understand?
Okay, fine. Now you say that though. How does it actually relate back to Spanish muksa?
Because it's not tying back to the Zman of Banish Mashrut. It's tying back to the mechanism of Huxala. The idea of a Huxala Shabbos.
What does it? What about rain falling and the raisins does it exactly?
Because it becomes inedible now. The object now loses its status as being of use.
Okay, so it's any Muxa thing then?
Yeah, because everyone agrees this becomes Muxa. Everyone agrees this becomes Muxa. The question is, what is the Muxa? That's the question. It's not a question of whether this object becomes muksa or not. Everyone agrees this becomes muksa.
One side says right. Only muksa banish mushrooms can intrinsically redefine something. The other says even...
Correct. Exactly. Or the other side of the coin. Is there such a thing as a conditional muksa? Or no? There's only one kind of system of muksa. It's a muksa banish mushrooms. So now, which is the intrinsic redefinition of the object as being muksa. So now when Shabbos, when it is Shabbos, as we know as a fact, the thing can become muksa. Question is, what institution of muksa is that expressing over there? Is it expressing a conditional muksa, or it's the same muksa as muksa banish mashos?
How do we just say? Is it just
machlokas? Oh, so the Gemara says, yesh muksa. Which means what? Which means that this thing is, there's only one system of muksa.
But neither side would say there's intrinsic thin of mutterness. Neither side holds that.
No. Right now, you'll see, there's a Gemara we're going to do soon, that you could argue there is such a thing as every object before you, before Shabbos, is mutter, unless you see otherwise. You could say that. That's why I'm not disregarding what you're saying.
In this case, no.
What?
Why wouldn't it be?
Why? Because you have to have a reason to say that.
Why? That we said before, like by the Nair, that there are like 10 functions and usually exist.
But it's not that they're mutter, it's just 10 functions that are not usser.
Right, they're all open.
That doesn't mean they have to be mutter, though. Mutter is like a positive thing in the object. Just, there's no reason why you couldn't use them. You'll see. It's not just semantics. You'll see. All right. Gemara in Chaf Vav Amud Beis in Beitza picks up from Tashma. Okay. Haya Ochel Ba'anavim.
Tashma. Haya Ochel Ba'anavim. Somebody was eating
grapes.
Wait, what's he? Somebody's eating grapes. He left some over. Helen and Gog, and he brought them up to the roof. Lawson man smoking to make raisins. Betain him or with fig. Meister, and he left some over. Helen and Gog, and he brought them to the roof. Lawson man great garas to make dried fig. Laugh my hand odd. She has been by the end. You can't eat from them unless you set them aside from day.
Right. Okay, so I'm saying, why couldn't you eat them? Because when you go into Shabbos, they're what?
Grapes. They're what?
Inedible. Right. In other words, they're inedible. So when Shabbos starts, these things are inedible, right? So far, the only thing the Gemara has introduced right now that's a chiddush is there's a way to loop around it, right? According to the Gemara, as long as a guy does what? As long as he says, Achi Yasmin Bod Yom. So now you could deduce what Yasmin means. What does Yasmin mean? Right. For what? Right. So he can say, a guy is allowed to say, you know what? These fruits that I put up on my roof, right? My intention is that even though I know they're going to Shabbos being usher, right? I plan on eating them on Shabbos.
It seems to be only if he was eating them, though.
Correct. Oh, so you're right. And there has to be a reason. Good. So Mati's pointing out, making a good point. There has to be a reason why the Gemara says this case is one of, without the kovetz, of? Yeah. Of Ochal Navim, the Hosir. If a guy went up to the roof and put the fruits on the roof, would Hazmana work?
Wouldn't seem so.
We're not sure. What do you look at?
Somebody had it. It's the same din would be with peaches, with chavushin, or with
quinces.
Quinces.
Quinces. Ushakom in Paris.
And the rest of species of.
Okay. Peppers. So far, so good. Any questions on the case? Case is pretty simple. Okay.
I don't know what fruits.
You'll see. You're going to go back to the Gemara and Shabbos to answer that. We'll get to that.
Then what?
Then the
answer.
Yeah, because when Shabbos starts, what's the status of the
Muxa,
of the?
They get a dinner muksa intrinsically.
Right. Unless I do hazmana.
Isn't
mibayim
like a longer period of time than just Shabbos?
Yeah. No. It's a few hours before.
Why? Why can't it just be right before?
Or right before? What's the difference? Who cares? What's the difference?
Mibayim usually used as
mine after me now.
What if you did it only 5 minutes before?
But it has to be a point where the point is like this. When you put it up on the roof, right, the sun hits them and it becomes, the process of inedibility starts. That's all I care about. I don't care when. Okay?
What's the idea of this hazmana?
That's a great question. It sounds like a weird thing, right?
It doesn't change the status of the object that should acquire a state amongst it.
Well, what's hazmana? Look at number three. What's hazmana doing? I mean, in theory, what's hazmana doing?
Towards the object.
Meaning, so in number three, what would change?
Defining
his
reason.
You're giving a spar already. You're right.
To redefine, even it goes above the intrinsic physical status.
Right. So you could say right. So but everyone agree. But 1 second. But everyone would agree that keep this in mind that when the thing is undergoing its process of becoming a raisin, for sure it's muksa.
Well, it would be because it's a circumstantial. It would be a muksa raisin that is inedible there by usher.
Oh, okay.
Number five, in which it was much of the end.
Okay, good. Please. If only that simple, yeah.
What's hazmana?
Hazmana means that I say I'm designating this. I put the fruit up on my roof, right? I say I have in mind when I put it up there that I'm going to eat the raisin on Shabbos. Okay. So normally what should happen is that when it becomes muksa, it retains a status. But I have the means of preventing that status of being retained if I do hazmana.
So it's number three, but usually...
But green, by the raisin. The raisin's green.
So, you're in the court?
Soon, yeah.
So you approve the intrinsic definition that Vanish Moshe's does, but gives.
Maybe. Okay. I don't know. Let me ask a question. What cases does Mana work in so far? We have no idea. That's what the Gemara is going to ask right now. What's the case? Watch. Mati, read.
Yeah. What's the case? If they dried up, Mana has Mana. If they dried it before Shabbos started, why do you need to do hazmana?
Well, what I was saying, right? So if it's a raisin when Shabbos starts, right? Right? If it's a raisin when Shabbos starts, then what?
Of course, hazmana.
What would hazmana do?
Nothing. You don't need it.
Right. Hazmana can't do anything if the thing is mutter. What are you doing hazmana for? This object should be mutter for me on Shabbos. It's mutter already, right? Rashi. Eid the achzu ben hashmashos lam li hazmana. Havadai kivin the chazav behud yavshu. Daiti aloyu. Right? I mean, it's pretty clear. What's his das? His das is, there's nothing to say. The thing's dry. It's good to go. Okay? All right. What's the other possibility?
And if it was not dried up, then what does this matter do?
Oh, 1 second. So that's rejecting our assumption. So it's not rejecting three. It's saying that if it goes into Shabbos as being muksa, then guess what? Hazmana can't do anything about that. Okay?
So this is intrinsically defined, that's it.
Right. Okay, so we have to reject our assumption. Hazmana cannot undo muksa. If it goes into Shabbos being muksa, it's muksa. Okay? Look at Rashi. V'idu l'achzu. Help you.
L'achila.
See, I mean, look how strong his lashon is. He's saying that if you can't, doing hazmana on something that's muksa already is like doing hazmana on a rock.
For eating?
For eating.
Why not just for using?
In ekonami, because you're doing the case of food. The point, though, is that it's eitzim avanim.
It's not comparable to that.
Why not?
Because stones will never become fit for eating. These stuff will.
No, he doesn't care. That's his point. That's why he's saying it.
But why?
Because he's saying it's so pointless to do.
It's the same point as just doing hazmana on rocks and stones for work. Aren't stones?
Yes. The only problem here is that we're dealing with food items. So that's why he's putting the context of achila.
But stones are something which don't.
No, he doesn't really mean. He's saying euphemistically. He's saying it's absurd. He's saying that they're used. This object, when Shabbos starts, the food is no different than an eitz and evin. Why is it no different than an eitz and evin?
Yeah.
Why?
For food.
No, why is it? No, nothing conceptually.
Eitz and evin are the type of things which have no use whatsoever.
Right.
Why do you say a kli? A kli has a use, it just doesn't have a use for food.
Because he's trying to prove a point. He's trying to say that doing hazman on something that's muksa when Shabbos starts, right, that it's intrinsically defined that way, what happens to food, is the same thing as trying to make a rock edible. It's a pointless thing.
No.
Yes, what do you mean? It's clear. He's proving a point. He's saying there's no point in doing the hazmana.
It wouldn't be mutter la'chila. It wouldn't be mutter la'chila at the beginning of Shabbos, just after it dries up, it would be mutter la'chila.
No, he's saying.
You know, right now, we think that if it went into Shabbos as a grape, it wouldn't be mutter to eat as a semi-grape. It would be mutter to eat as a raisin.
No, that's what he's saying. Don't even think of that as a hamina. He's saying that when Shabbos starts, and this thing is usher to eat, right? If it starts Shabbos being edible, I don't care what happens to it. You cannot do hazman on it. Because this object right now, I don't care what changes in it, this object right now is defined as like a rock. It's you cannot do hazmana to it.
What if a rock's about to turn into a peach?
Wouldn't matter. There's no reality.
I don't know that. Rashi's bringing a raya from a rock, but a rock is nothing.
I know, because no, he's not bringing a raya. He's trying to show you. He's saying the pointlessness of your excursion. The Gemara is saying that. The Gemara says, if it's roi, then hazmana won't help. And if it's not roi, then hazmana won't help. Why does the Gemara say that? Because Gemara is taking it as a given, number three. There's no way you could tell me that if it's muksa before, when Shabbos starts, that somehow hazmana will prevent that, hazmana will say that when it comes to reason, it's now mutter to eat. Hazmana can't work that way. So whatever hazmana is, it's not something that can undermine or, what's the word I'm looking for? Destroy the intrinsic status of, what?
Abolish
counteract. The intrinsic status of, counteract enough counteract the intrinsic status of the object. Okay, so then what's the case?
Okay, if you want to say that he didn't know whether it was dried up or not.
All right, so now we have a whole new factor here. So what could the case be? The case would be like this. Okay, this is why this is great to define. Okay, so what's the case? Case is, so what do I do? So look at Rashi.
This hazmana that we learned, Kigain, was, for example, the Tairachu
Lalais
Alayan. It was, it's hard to go up to that.
He doesn't want to take a ladder and go up to the roof and check. The Liro, Simyavshu, Imlav.
They dried, Imlav or not. The Anaidea, Imrain, Imlayrin. He doesn't know if they're good or not. U Machin Basmana.
U Machin Basmana.
And he compared with
Hazmana. With Hazmana. Okay, 1 second. What's he saying? It's crazy. This is like just absolute lunacy. Like, so Rashi is suggesting the following. He's saying that, so what would the case of Hazmana be? Oh, I'll tell you.
Durabanan or Savi Duraisa?
Durabanan.
Cool. So
you got to eat it. What do you mean? What do I want to say? What are you asking a suffix for?
Why do you need Hazmana over here?
Well, let me explain it first. Hold on. Let's make sure we're on the same page, okay? So he said, what's the case? The case is that I put grapes up on my roof to dry. Okay? Now your question about Yom is applicable. So I was waiting for this, okay? Let's say you put it on, I don't know, at 1 p.m. and Shabbos is at 5, okay? So at that point in time, it's unsure whether or not, when Shabbos started, what the status of the grapes are. It's possible they were dried out. It's possible they're still inedible. So what's Hazmana going to do? What's Hazmana doing here?
Nothing, I don't
understand. No. What's Rashi telling you? He says it. Rashi says, what's Hazmana doing? You're saying, if they went into Shabbos being good, I want to eat them.
You don't know if they went to Shabbos good. That's
the whole point, though.
There has to be a suffix.
No, that's the thing. So what would Hazmana do? Hazmana would override what?
The suffix.
Meaning like this. Okay. There's only one or two possibilities, right? Either it was roided even before Shabbos, right? Or it wasn't roided. Now, I don't know. Right, so when I make the hazmana, what do I say? I say that I'm going to say, you know what? I don't know, so I'm assuming that if it were roi, I want to eat it when Shabbos starts. One second. So therefore, now what would happen when on Shabbos itself? Would I be allowed to eat it?
No.
Yes, there's no reason for the hazmana.
Right. You have the same question.
What's your question? Hold on.
So why don't we just say in the first case? Why don't we answer the question and say? No, it is like three. Otherwise, there'd be no need for Hazmana.
Oh, because you don't. Because in here, you know.
So what? And here you have suffix. So on that side, it wouldn't make a difference.
So what you want to know is why should this act of Hazmana
about the suffix?
Right.
Yeah.
How does this work? Okay.
Doesn't that imply that suffix is some type of designation?
Yes. Great point. Okay.
100%.
Okay, because the question is that this is where things get a little tricky. I'm not defining yet, but what you have to start looking at, is like this. You have to start understanding the difference between the object and then my das. Okay? Because remember, huksa is not just simply the status of the object per se, there's also an idea of das here. Like Rashi says, daite aluyo, is my das on it. But just finish Rashi. So Rashi says, v'ashminan.
Ashminan is, come and teach us, ilav das, minhu, me asmana, if you didn't do asmana now, kim lai haviyada. Since he doesn't know if they're fit to eat, Lehav Armina and Dite Aloyav Asurim Lahol Afilu Matsun Rein.
Right, so if he didn't, meaning if he didn't do Hazmana, so then what's his das?
He's not eating them.
His das is that he's assuming that they're not Roy, and therefore.
Why do you say that?
Because what's Hazmana doing then? Why would he. I know it's circular, okay, I understand, trust me, this is not easy. But what's he doing Hazmana for? He's doing his money to mevara the suffix.
Okay.
So therefore, if he didn't mevara the suffix, so what's the status of the thing when the Shabbos starts?
Question.
No.
No. Edible.
No.
No.
Inedible.
If he doesn't do his mana, is
that?
If he doesn't do Hazmana, it's defined as inedible. Even if in reality they were inedible, but when Shabbos started.
Why would he
assume? Because he has to do a ma'aseh to show. Because since he's in a situation of suffix, since he doesn't know, right? Again, we don't. The trick here is we don't know what actually the status of those grapes are.
Yeah, so why is it false and inedible?
Why is halacha treated that way?
Yeah.
Good question. But whatever it is, the point is, since that's the default, what's the solution for it?
Hazmana.
Okay. I didn't say it was easy. Okay. Okay. Now the Gemara says that's not the answer, though. That's not the case of Hazmana. Why? So the Gemara says. So you have a comparable case. What's that case?
Something that dried up.
Look at Rashi. The ain't a bialim makirin bay.
The ain't a bialim makirin bay. Ain't a bialim yodim shiavish. The bialim don't know that it dried up. Shalai badku because they didn't check it.
That's key. Well, hold on. I know what you're going to ask.
They found it dried out on Friday?
Yeah, that's key. It's a lot exactly the same case.
How could you know they dried on Friday?
So you know. That's a good question. You have to take that as an assumption. Somehow, when you look at the raisin, you know that this raisin's been dry for... So let's do a hyperbolic case, okay? What happened was, you 10 minutes after Shabbos started, you went up to your roof and checked the raisins. And it turns out those raisins have been dry for at least 2 hours. So you know they were dry before Shabbos started. I don't care how you know. But you know. In that case, now, that's not exactly comparable, by the way, if you think about it. Because in the first case, I'm not sure what the status of the grape is when Shabbos starts. In this case, I have a means of ascertaining it once Shabbos starts.
Does it matter?
Well,
if you knew it was mutter,
it should matter to you.
If you knew it was mutter, of course it's mutter.
You're right.
She
but you don't know. No, but you didn't know when Shabbos started. Was mutter?
Who cares?
We obviously the Gemara cares.
Why?
That's a good question. Okay. Good to answer that. But the Gemara is saying, but you don't need husband. But that's the whole point. You don't need us money here. So your question before about why should a default be muksa? You see, it's not true, right?
Yeah.
Because in this case, they found that they didn't know what it was when Shabbos started. Now that it's Shabbos, they look at the raisin and they say, oh, the raisin must have been dry before Shabbos, right? And what do we hold? It's mutter to eat. So the default is a muksa. But therefore, but now you're back to the same problem of what is Hasmana doing, right? Okay? Right. Okay, what? Shut up. So go on. So keep going. Keep going. Get back to the Gemara. Oh, it's like mutter. Look, no, sorry. Rashi mutter.
Rashi mutter.
Listen to this. Zomli Rashi. Dechi aske.
Dechi aske me kara loy atsu.
Akatsya.
Akatsya. El yavish. Because when he dealt with it originally.
In his thinking originally, in his conclusion originally, right? His das, his makze, right? He's setting aside, right?
Was to dry?
Was to be dry. He assumed it was dry.
In previous case.
Hold on. I don't. We reject that previous case. That's the whole point. It doesn't. That's the whole point. Hasmana would never work in the previous case. The previous case. There is no previous case. This is the case.
I'm saying why not?
Why wouldn't hasmana work?
Yeah.
That's the. You mean what's the svar of the hamin and what's the svar of the maskana?
Sure.
That's what you have to answer. Rashi. Vare yavesh v'huchan mibod yom. Right. So meaning that now that Shabbos started, when I look at the raisin, almost done. Look at the raisin and it's dry. I know it was dry before Shabbos, and therefore, how do I define the raisin?
Dry.
Dry from Mibod Yom, meaning into Shabbos as dry. Okay?
Four.
Therefore, it's mutter. Right. Okay. So, therefore, what's the case?
Ela la dechazu ve'itlu ve'chadarasu. It was dry, and then it got rained on.
Oh, so maybe we'll say it's that case. Maybe the case of Hasmana is what? Hasmana would prevent what case?
Five.
What, case five. So, if I do Hasmana, right? If I do Hasmana, then maybe I'll assume that it'll never be muksa, right? When it goes back to being a raisin, it's still not muksa. The Gemara says no.
No.
But how would it apply in that case?
The Gemara is going to tell you why it wouldn't apply in that case.
Yeah, I'm right.
Tell you. It would apply because it would prevent it from being red. It would be green. It would be raisin.
I mean, it would never be muksa at any point.
What?
It would never be muksa.
No, if it's an edible, it has to be muksa.
So what is? How's it?
Because it would prevent red.
Oh.
But the Gemara says it's absurd. Because you got the same problem. You're still going to have the same problem. Why?
The Amrit Ein Muksa Lamalu Hasmana.
Right. If it's not Muksa when Shabbos starts, meaning it's green, then Hasmana's not going to help you.
If it's red.
Right.
What do you mean?
Elamai Yesh Muksa. Right? But then Ki Asmin Lahu My Havi. But then if it started off as Shabbos being Muksa, then how does Hasmana help you? You're back at a 0 point.
You said you prevent the red.
No, it can't work that way. Because if it started off as muksa, because the question is in the case, we always go by what it starts off as Shabbos like.
Fine.
Right? So notice, the Gemara wants to go back now to what? I know this is tough, okay? The Gemara starts off by saying it's a case of suffix. Then the Gemara says, no, well, I'll treat you a case of a vadai, but yet it changes its status. But the Gemara says, that'll never work in the case of Hasmana. Because what do we always go by? The status of the object when Shabbos starts. So if it's muksa, Hasmana won't work.
Not in case five.
Yes, in case five. Hasmana won't work.
Why not?
But even if it's not muksa in the beginning,
why not?
It could be muksa at the end.
Right, but that's not, but Hasmana, the Gemara is saying that for Hasmana to, why not? You have to answer that. It's a good question. I don't know. Just deal with the facts, man. These are just the facts.
When the Gemara says,
why doesn't five work?
The factually speaking, five doesn't work because when Shabbos starts, what's the status of the object? Is it green or red?
Green.
If it's green, Hasmana is pointless.
No, is that when the Gemara says, muksa in the beginning, he's talking about the maskana.
What's the maskana?
Or the third,
No, five. Five.
No, five, but the blue raisin in five.
Yes, it's no, because it's saying that what are you gonna say, what's Hasmana gonna do? What would you think Hasmana would do? Hasmana prevent red from happening in the end and being green.
Or if it was green, then nothing.
No,
that's a two sided.
No, that makes no sense.
He's saying if we posit in that this case is not muksa.
No. I'm telling you. Because that's how I learned the case. I want to say it's the same question as before. It's the same case as before, which is that we go by whatever the status is when Shabbos starts. So Shabbos starts and it's green.
That's not what we said in case five.
What?
That's not what we said in case five. Case five, we said if it starts at green, then goes red, it's a suffix. What it ends up as.
Right, but
it's not as possible to both sides up. Even if you said this muksa,
we're saying hazmana won't work. Hazmana can't work in case five.
Right, because either it's muksa in the end, in which case it's not going to take it out of muksa, or it's not muksa, in which case it's a green.
Right.
But it's when it says a muksa in the end, it's talking about the green and red at the end. Not the green at the beginning.
Yes, and I know what you're asking now. Yeah, but what I'm saying is there's no difference between the green in the end and the green in the beginning. Because if it weren't for the green in the beginning, you could have green in the end.
It's not a question whether it's green in the beginning or red in the beginning. Everybody agrees it's green in the beginning.
Yes, correct. Okay. Yes. Correct. I understand what you're asking now. Yeah. You're right. Correct. So that can't be that case. So therefore, what's the case? Here comes the worst answer ever. Okay?
It's semi-dry.
Yeah, meaning what?
it's a wet raising.
Okay. What, okay. So that's why I kept telling you got to be
edible.
Precise here.
Yeah,
it's edible, but what?
It's machel ben derslei.
What?
It's machel ben derslei.
Rashi. Oh, sorry. Do finish the Gemara. The Ika in Shida Achle. Vegan Shida Achle. Right. So guess what? When it comes to a raisin that's not completely raisined, okay, but it's a raisin, okay. Not guess what? Fun. Some people like that, and some people. And therefore, what would Hasmana do? Sure. Gemara. Right, so Asmin Galidaite. Lo Asmin, lo Galidaite. Okay? So when does Hasmana only works on one? Yeah.
I have the same question here. Why is the people who don't like it, what do they get the defaults?
Muksa, unless proven otherwise.
That's fair enough.
Well, it seems to be the theme of the Gemara. Okay. So for those who weren't paying attention, take a look. Everything is written out here in black and white. Okay, and on the flow chart. If you look at the flow chart. No, it's kind of tan.
Not our cars.
Oh, good. Okay, good point.
So you're talking about what we have.